Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Can I tell you something? When we lose the awe of the Creator, we're at a bad place. I didn't say you're not saved. I said we're at a bad place. When we lose the wonder of who He is, the Creator, the one who still, by the way, is breathing stars into existence and calling them by name. By the way, children were just conceived. Tens of thousands of children have been conceived around the world already today. And He breathed their life into existence. When we lose the wonder of the Creator and the Giver of life, we're at a bad place. When we, let me just compare it to a marriage. When we stop saying to the one we're supposed to love most on this earth, I love you. I love you. Those words are priceless. How many times have I been in a room with a couple that years ago, long ago, stopped saying, I love you. I want you to know I love you. And can I tell you seriously, I've actually watched them at the site of a casket. And the tears are streaming down because it was too late to say, I love you. 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 There were times I didn't like you. But I genuinely love you. By my math, I have about 30 years, hopefully healthy years, on this earth, if nothing unforeseen happens. What am I going to do? I got one third of my life left. By my math. I have grace math, by the way. I have grace math. By my math, I've got one third of my life left, and I have today the most perspective I've ever had in my life. People call it gray hair, but I call it perspective. I have the most perspective I ever have had, and I know myself better than I've ever known myself, and my value system is more sure today than it was years ago. This is the most productive one third of my life because I have vowed to God that this third will make a difference for the kingdom. This third, you'll never have to wonder if I love you. This third, I'm not only going to tell you I love you, I'm going to live like I love you. He said, if you love me, keep my commands. This third will be different. Father, show us your love. Show us your grace. Show us today in a personal, intimate way what it is to love you more and more and more. In Espanol, it is te amo más cada día. I love you more every day. Te amo más cada día. Te amo más de año. For every year, every year, every year, I love you more. Father, we love you. Father, we love you. Father, we love you more every day. If that's not true, God, show us. Search my heart and find if there's anything in my heart that's wicked. Your word uses the word wicked or unpleasing to you. Anything, God, show it to me because I don't want that in the way of me falling more in love with you every day. Let me just... Pam, is it at all possible that you love that little man in your arms more every day? How many grandparents we got in this room? Don't you just adore them more every day? Don't you just adore those children? Yeah. out of the mouth of babes. Father, we want to love you more every day. We want to love you more every day. Father, I want to love you more every day. I'm not in any hurry. How about you? Father, I love you more every day. I will love you more every day. How many times do I need to say it? More and more and more. Barry, you already said it 15 times. Yeah, I'm going to say it 16. Lord, I love you more every day. Lord, I love you more every day. I want to wake up in the morning saying, Lord, I love you today. Show me your face today. Lord, I want to know you today more and more and more. For those of you that have that special someone in your life and you get to be with them and spend that day with them, don't you want to know them more every day? Don't you want to know? And there's just times you find out something you might not want to have known. Can I tell you what? God knows everything about you and me. To quote a famous American, the good, the bad, and the ugly. He knows it all. Because the Word says He knows the end from the beginning. Father, we commend you today. We commit to you today. Our love, our faithfulness. In you there is hope. In you there is hope. I'm going to ask Randy if he'll come forward with the ability to light the first candle of the Advent season. It is the hope candle. It's the candle, the purple candle. They're all purple at some level. To find my furthest left. The hope candle we light today. The psalmist writes in Psalm 62, my soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. How long will you assault? How long will you assault a man? Would all of you throw him down the leaning wall, this tottering fence? They fully intend to topple him from his lofty place. They take delight in lies with their mouths. They bless and in their hearts they curse. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my fortress. Isn't that amazing? In this Advent season, we're now officially launching the Christmas season here at St. Charles River Church. To all who stayed and put up the decorations, there's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. Through the years, Rob and Rhonda have done it down through the years. I know that you were a part of this, Michelle, this weekend. For those of you who were, I saw some of you. Tom, I saw some of you here. Would you just raise your hand for a second? You were actually a part of the decorating team. Just raise your hand real high. Raise your hand real high. Yes. Would you give them a tremendous hand? That's a lot of work. Looks beautiful. We are officially in the Christmas season. You may have a seat. Give our band a huge hand. Will you do that? We love you guys. Awesome. Very cool. This Christmas season, we just absolutely do not believe that anyone should be alone on Christmas Eve. That is why we do our traditional Christmas Eve service here at St. Charles River Church. We do that because we really want you to have a place that you can invite someone that they can come and celebrate Christmas Eve with other believers. And it's a safe place. It's really a safe place. And the message that night is a message of hope, and it's a message of love and grace. It's a message that the Savior actually loved us that much that He would come and that He would give His life for you and me and that He would rise again. It's a great opportunity that night to talk about what Christmas is really about. And by the way, Chase and where are you at? You guys are over here. They came on the night of the tailgate. Would you give them a hand? This is their first time attending this church. Say it again. Trunk or treat. Yeah. Trunk or treat. That's what it was. Yeah, you got to spell it out to me. What did I say? Well, we'll do a tailgate with you, buddy. Chase, we're going to do a tailgate one day, and I'll call you. I'll make sure. But you're going to come back before then, right? Awesome, buddy. Remy is their daughter, right? She is back in kids' church today. We got a great kids' church, by the way. If you haven't invited someone with children, tell them we got a great children's pastor, and we got an amazing team back there. They love our kids, and they get Jesus. Every Sunday morning when I walk in the building, I'm getting hugs from kids, some knee high, and some taller than that, and big hugs, and they'll say, "Pastor Barry, I love Jesus." Well, first of all, congratulations, Mom and Dad. You're doing an amazing job. Let me tell you, that is not something that just comes because a Sunday school teacher or a kids' church pastor speaks that every Sunday. That comes because you're living and you're speaking it into them on an everyday basis. By the way, I do have to say, when I said, "Don't you just love Jesus?" I looked over at Nate, and Nate's going, "I sure do. I sure do." This guy wasn't supposed to walk. He's not supposed to be able to use his hands. God's given him his feet back. God's given him his hands back. And every once in a while, I'll see Nate stand. He's not supposed to be standing, according to all things, medical things. And here's Nate standing over there worshiping God. You know what? I'll never forget the Sunday that Nate decided, if everybody else is going to stand, I'm going to stand. He made a determination to stand in the presence of God and to worship the Creator. He's not supposed to be able to do that. But he made the decision that he was going to stand. And Randy came up to me that just lit the candle. Randy came up to me and he said, Nate's standing, worshiping. I said, "Nate who?" Because at the time we had three Nates in the building. And he said, "Nate." And I looked over and went, "Lord Jesus." he ain't supposed to be able to do that, And there's Nate standing. And here's Nate like this. Now you guys getting this? The Creator, the miracle worker, the wonder, the awesome one is in the house. And he's doing a work in us. He's doing a work in Nate and Melissa. It is just a great God that we serve. He is an amazing God. Are you all ready to get into some teaching? Are you really ready to get into some teaching? I want a little feedback today. I sense a safe crowd today. I sense a safer crowd today. I'll come over this way. I want to ask you something. Did you see the bulletin title? Did you see what I put in it? Does anybody read this bulletin? I'm just curious. How many know that there's a $100 bill three pages back? No, you didn't read it then. Okay, that's all right. No, I'm joking with you. Don't quote me on that. But we would pay you to come. Remember the time we paid people to come to church? Yeah, we did. We actually paid them to come to church. Attendance was half. I didn't understand it. But anyway, here we go. Actually, this holiday season, I prefer... How many of you have preferences about the way you celebrate the holidays? How many of you... You don't? You don't have... I prefer... What are some of the things that you prefer this holiday season? I'd like to get some, I know I'm going to throw this one out there, family. We love being with family, right? Throw some things out here. I really prefer, say it again. Quiet. You've raised children and you have grandchildren, don't you? Yes. Anybody else? Well, this holiday season, actually, I prefer, is there anything I love Christmas music. I love Christmas music. But there's some Christmas music. Does it make you sad sometimes? Because I remember who's not here. I remember who's not here. I prefer certain things. I love certain types of celebrations and years ago, on occasion, I would go down even to the cathedral and celebrate the mass down at the St. Louis Cathedral. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing to do. I'm not Roman Catholic, but we're all Catholic. Do y'all know that? All that means is the word Catholic only means the universal church. It's the true church of Jesus Christ. And so, by definition, we're all a part of the body of Christ. Those who are born again have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord of their lives. We're all together serving and worshiping Him. Anything else you prefer? What do you prefer? As a family or as an individual? Is that like on Christmas morning, just letting the kids have at it? No order to it at all. It's kind of like trying to round up cats, isn't it? That's It's kind of like a cat roundup. Once they start into the presence, it's almost like a cat roundup. That's precious, though, I will tell you. It is precious. Have you ever had your kids do this? They unwrap something and they go, oh, clothes, great. Then they throw it to the side, and yeah, we've experienced that. Well, today I want to talk with you just a little bit about, and I'm going to have you turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Romans chapter 12. And we're going to look at this amazing verse. It starts, I'm going to start reading about verse 9. Can I just talk to you about the things we prefer are not always the things that should be? Number one. How many know that? The things we prefer are not always the things that should be. The things we prefer are not always the things that God prefers for us. And so what we want to look at is, what is it that I prefer versus what is it that God prefers? And I love honesty. Do you remember in the garden? Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was praying. And he was praying. I mean, sincere prayer. And he is praying his heart out. And he's begging his Father, Lord, let this cup pass from me. Lord, if there's any way to let this cup pass from me, he's giving his preference, his physical preference, the strain, the sweating of blood, the stress that was on his body. He knew it wasn't just, by the way, the stress that was on his body. It was the stress that was on his spirit, because he was about to take on, listen to this, Christ was about to take on sin. I didn't say he was about to commit sin. I said he was about to take on the sin of the world. And he had never known, the word says, he who knew no sin became sin against his preference. It wasn't what he preferred. It's an amazing, I think, a revelation that God gives to us, that it's okay to admit to ourselves, Lord, I prefer. Because Jesus did it. He modeled it for us so that we can see it's a human thing. It's a human condition to have a preference. But when, let me just give a warning. But when we turn it into doctrine, when we turn something into doctrine, I was in a funeral not all that long ago. And I begin to share a statement about the individual that, and I compared him to a great Bible figure. His life was similar to a great Bible figure. And this individual that came up behind me is another pastor, actually. This other pastor, after all I did was said, he is so special to me. His walk was so unique. His walk was so unique. And I was just describing how special this individual was. And the person who got up behind me was somehow offended by that comparison. And the individual said, actually, Barry compared so-and-so to, and he named the Bible figure. And he said, that's actually unscriptural. And I was like, oh my Lord, don't do that to, number one, don't do that to the family. Because the family and everyone in that room was going, yes! That's the kind of individual he was. Yes, that's the kind of individual. This man really was that. They got it. The congregation, the family's sitting there on the front row and they're going, yes. They were so touched by that statement. He's a this for me. By the way, they didn't get mad at me when I said he's a Jesus with skin on. I mean, the more controversial statement didn't offend them. If someone wants to argue doctrinally about what I compared him to when I said, he's my Jesus with skin on, that would be the most controversial, I would think. But when we turn our preferences into doctrinal statements and it becomes the way it must be instead of just the way I prefer, it's a dangerous place. So this is what God's word says. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whosoever believeth upon him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Here's the deal. God preferred to sacrifice his son. And God preferred to let him suffer on a cross for you and me and die for you and me. And he preferred that he would raise from the dead. He would raise him from the dead. He preferred that. Because you see, God instituted the law that the wages of sin is death. and someone had to die for the sin of all of mankind. And here's Jesus. Let me take you back to the garden. Here's Jesus in the garden, and he could have claimed, "Hey, I'm God. I'm God. I'm as much God as the Father and the Holy Spirit. I'm God. I'm the second person of the Trinity." How many times have you been in a position at work where you were the boss? And you could have done what you preferred, but you served the needs of the many versus the preference of the one. Do you know that God prefers people with Him? Now, the whole statement is, God prefers people with Him. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish. It's just not so we don't go to hell, but that they'll have eternal life. With who? With Him. His preference is that He will have people with Him eternally. That's His preference. And I just have to believe that since that's the preference of God, that even Jesus would lay down His preference, He would say, "But I am here to do the will of the Father. It's not what I prefer. It's the will of the Father." Now listen to this. In Romans chapter 12, I'm going to start reading. And basically, by the way, what I'm talking about is loving people. It's loving people. So much, for God so loved the world that He did something about it. You get the picture. It isn't just, we quote it all the time, "For God so loved the world," and it, you know, John 3:16 was in the end zone in most football games in the 70s and the 80s, because that big guy with the orange hair, the big wig, the afroed wig, was down there holding it. You remember that guy? And we got almost to where we weren't in awe of that statement. No, for God so loved the world that He actually did something about it. He took action, and it wasn't easy to sacrifice His Son. But He did this. Listen to this. God's preference is people with Him. And when Christ left this world, He said, "You'll do greater things than you've seen me." He gave us a great commission we call it the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. He gave us this commission to go do what? Value what He valued. You get the picture. Are we on a turkey coma? I'm just curious. Are you on a turkey coma this morning? Y'all awake? Okay, we'll go back. God says His Son to live, to die, and to rise for you and for me, because that was the preference of the Father, that because it was going to take that for us to be with them. Now, the thing that it starts with, I'm coming back to this, it's love. It's loving people so much that we'll do something about it. Actually, this Christmas season, I'd like for you to fill this in on your bulletin. Actually, this Christmas season, I prefer helping people experience God. What my goal is today is that we actually change from the preference that we have, just like Jesus did in the garden, to the preference of the Father. Right there in the garden, we see that model. And he says in verse 9, it says, Paul writing to the church at Rome, it said, love must be sincere. You ever had anybody tell you they love you and you know better than that? They don't act like they love you. They don't act like they love you. They may say it, but there's just not action that goes behind it. And God's a God of action. If I love you, I'll show you. The word says, if you love me, I said it a while ago, if you love me, keep my commands. Put action to it. Love me enough to do something about it, just like God did. It says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Be devoted. By the way, that's not people he's talking about. He's not talking about hating people. Well, he's evil. I'll hate him. He's of this religion. I'll hate him. He's the enemy. Okay, wait, you haven't read the whole scripture that I'm about to bring to you this morning, okay? He's not talking about hating people here. He's talking about hating the evil that comes from the pit. How many know what I'm talking about? That, because there is an enemy, and it's not a human face. The enemy is the enemy, and he is none other than Satan himself. It says, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Listen to this. Honor one another above yourselves. In other words, give preference to others over the things you prefer. That's why I said a few minutes ago, have you ever been in a position as a boss? And you knew you could have just said, we're going to start. I had this decision one year in one of our salons. I loved Christmas music. Now, it wasn't as sentimental to me back then as it is today. It was more of a joyous occasion because I hadn't lost my mom yet. I hadn't lost my 28-year-old brother to a drunk driver. There's just a lot of tragedy that I had not experienced yet. And so I decided I was going to, just because Thanksgiving was over, I was going to go ahead and turn on the Christmas music in the salon. And I cannot tell you how many people, because I was the manager, I could do that. And we're going to listen to it. And you're going to like it. How well you think that went over? I had a lot of growing up to do. What did I tell you a few minutes ago? I wasn't exaggerating when I told you I'm not the same guy I was back then. Because I have perspective today. You do enough things wrong and you're willing to learn from it, by the time you're 57 like I am, I keep forgetting if I'm 57 or 58, but by the time you're 57 like I am, I'll take the low road today. By the time you get where I'm at, you've done enough things that you've actually blown it. You got perspective. It says, that is true. That is true. Honor one another above yourselves. Give a preference. What is it you like? What would give value to you instead of me? Yeah, I'm the one that has the authority to make the decision, and I'm making it right now. What would you like? What would give value to you? What would bless you in some way? Isn't that a completely different approach? Now let me get down here a little bit further. I have a few minutes, so let me get down a little further. Honor one another above yourselves. In other words, throw your preference aside and take on the will of the Father. Take on the preference of the Father by serving others. Isn't that right, Chaplain Earl? Goes on to say, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope. Can I tell you, this Christmas season, this church, people of faith ought to be people that walk into a room at their work or at the country club. If you belong to a golf country club or if you're in your own business, it ought to be a place where, and if you ever walk into Pastor Mike's place, you'll see faith statements up. If you ever, I mean, I'm serious, wherever we go, believers need to be people that bring hope into the room. Everybody, I've said it probably 100, if not more times through the years. We need to be the people, when we walk into a room, people are glad we're there. And when we leave the room, people are sorry that we're going. That's the reputation we should have. But instead, you know what it turns into? Oh good. He's gone. We can bring out the booze now. We're killjoys on parties, aren't we? We're killjoys. I mean, because we've kind of given them that ammunition that we're no fun. Stay and have fun. Don't compromise your value system, but stay and have fun and speak life into people. Speak life into people, not condemnation. Speak life. I prefer they not drink and drive for a very deeply personal reason. But I'm around more people in the holidays on purpose who are in that very position. And I'm not going to judge them. I will speak life into them. I will say, you do have an Uber ride, don't you? I'll call. I mean, I've done those things. We want to be the people that speak life. Give preference, but speak life into people. He goes on to say, honor one another above yourselves, never lacking zeal and spiritual favor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. By the way, talk with him this week. Talk with him this week. Wake up in the morning and start talking. You don't lay there all morning with, if your spouse is laying there next to you, and don't speak to each other, do you? If you do, come see me. Speak to him. The Bible says he's the lover of your soul. You may have your lover in bed with you of 37 or 40 or 50 years, but you've got your lover of your soul that's laying right there by you when you wake up. Speak to him. Speak to him. Tell him, I love you. I love you. I'm sorry, Lord, for things I don't even know I did wrong. If I've offended anybody, which, by the way, not a Sunday goes by that I don't offend somebody. Can I just tell you right now, I don't do it on purpose, no matter what you think. I do not do it on purpose. I prefer never to offend, but then I would keep my mouth shut. Don't laugh into Teresa. It's not in me. I'm not capable of that. Is that what you're saying? Okay, Gina. Okay. Gina knows that's true. I'm going to go on to say, because there's some good stuff down here, and I'm going to ignore the booth. Here we go. Patient in affliction, joyful in prayer, share with God. See what I put up with? Patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. In other words, care about someone's real need enough to do something about it. How many of you saw the Channel 2 special on all the people standing on the street corners? Saying, you know, if you give to them, they're working in a network. Don't give to them. They're working in a network. Can I tell you? Unless they live in a house as big as yours or bigger, they're still beggars. And I don't know what they do with the money. And I don't care what they do with the money. Don't give, but don't be mad at them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Compassion. When you pull up to a stoplight, it's okay. It's okay not to, if you don't feel compelled to give, it's okay. But have compassion. Compassion if compassion is leading the way, I promise you, we will be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is telling us to do. Or not do, frankly. There'll be times He checks you and says, don't give. Mm-mm. There will be times He'll tell you to give. But He already told us once to give. Give, and it shall be given unto you in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. What? The very thing you gave. He goes on to say, practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Wow. How many of you have somebody at work that just persecutes you? Aggravates you. I had a guy years ago, and some of you know the story of Sid. I'll come back to it, and I'm going to finish here in just a second. Some of you know the story of Sid. I was a Christian, though I was a young Christian, in our salons. And Sid there's this guy, this rock and roll dude, Sid. How many of you knew Sid? Okay. He was a rock and roll dude, had Rod Stewart's look, had his hair. He was a great lead guitarist in a local band. I mean, this guy was a good-looking guy. All the girls just loved Sid. He was one of our stylists. And by the way, I won't tell you that part in case I ever have him come here and speak. But he was a good-looking guy. But every day he would come in, and if I would be talking faith to somebody in the chair, and I did, I talked faith to people in the chair, if they would ask, and if God gave an opportunity, I would speak faith. Sid would be over there just mocking what I said. He would mock what I said. And it was ruthless mocking. And there were times he got to me so bad, I lost my witness. You hearing me? I'm just being stinking real. If you don't like real, you got the wrong guy here this morning. I lost my witness. There were times I said things I should never have said to him because I was angry or he embarrassed me in front of somebody. And it just went on for several years until one day my brother was killed. I got the phone call that my brother was killed by a drunk driver. And we went and we're at the funeral home the first night, Hutchins Funeral Home over in Florissant, and Sid was supposed to be working that night. The salons were still open, but our family was all there, and Sid walked through the door with his wife, Kelly. And this guy hated me. And I'm going to tell you something that is not a good day for a Christian to say, but I felt the same. You say, Barry, were you really saved? If you got hate in your heart like I did, I'm going to tell you, you need to check your salvation. How's that for honesty? I was in church all my life saying Southern gospel music, and I couldn't stand this guy. And I would argue with this guy. And Sid walks in the door, and he comes up to the casket, and I'm standing there, and with tears streaming down his cheeks, he said, dude, is it okay that I'm here tonight? I said, yeah, man. You see, all the fight was out of me. My brother's laying in a casket, 28th birthday. It was his 28th birthday he was killed on. Now, all the life, all the fight, all the anger, all the whatever, the self-righteousness was out of me. God just stripped it from me. And I'm standing there. He said, is it all right that I'm here? I said, yeah, dude. Thank you for coming. And he put his arms around me. He puts his arms around me. And he cries. And he says, dude, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that I've treated you the way I treat you. I'm so sorry, man. I am so sorry. And we just stood there and held each other and hugged each other at the side of my brother's casket, crying. And I said, I'm sorry too, buddy. I've been a horrible, horrible witness for Jesus Christ. We just stood there and hugged. He said, would you mind if I came to BJ's funeral? I said, yeah. No. I said, I'd love it, man. Sit with our family. Come and sit with us. It'd mean a lot to me if you did. See, God was breaking walls down. All good. Let me tell you, it is really, really true that all things work together for good. All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. We went into the funeral that day. The funeral took place at First Assembly of God's building. At the end of it, I was literally loading the casket in to the hearse. I was one of the pallbearers, and I felt a tap on my shoulder. And I looked. I still had the casket in my hand. I turned around, and I looked, and it's Sid with tears streaming down his face. He and Kelly holding hands. It was cold. It was a cold day. And he said, dude, if I can feel God that powerful in there in a funeral, can I come to church with you this Sunday? I said, man, I'd be honored if you would. Come and sit with us. Come and sit with us this Sunday. Sid came the first day. The first Sunday he walked into that building, he heard Rex Borman speak. And he sat there and he went, dude, I've never heard anything like this. I have never heard anything like that. That guy makes you want to know the God that he... That guy makes you want to know the God that he serves. Did you catch that? That guy makes you want to know the God that he serves. Sid and Kelly got saved that first Sunday. Sid received the baptism in the Holy Spirit in three Sundays. A couple of weeks later after that, Sid sat next to me in church and he said, did you hear that? He was on the end of the pew and I said, what are you talking about? He said, I just heard a voice to my left that said, I'm calling you full time to serve me. You're going to pastor. And I said, no. I didn't hear that. Ain't anybody on your left. And he said, I know. I don't even believe that kind of stuff. I said, well, you got it. And long story short, Sid pastored, went on into Bible college. Sid pastored a main Assemblies of God church out in Omaha, Nebraska. And then they did four offshoots, so he had five campuses total, and then was raised up to director of Reach Nebraska for the Assemblies of God, and now he's pastoring the church that Rex was at out in Charlotte, North Carolina. Now, let me tell you, when love is sincere, that was the sinner teaching the saint how to love. You get the picture? That was the sinner teaching the saint how to love. And I learned something from that day. I never want to be that same person that I was. I want to make sure I'm loving on people that despise me. I want to send blessings. Do you remember the guy that I told you that actually said something very negative about my comparison? That literally within 2 hours, I was sending him a text of blessing in Jesus' name. What an amazing job. And I meant that. He did a fantastic job that day. But listen to what the rest of this says here real quick. It says, bless those who persecute you. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Well, I prefer to tell them what I think of him. Well, that's not what Jesus did. When Pilate said, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus, if you say I am. That's his response. If you say so. If you say so. He could have called the word says 10,000 angels to deliver him from the cross that day. That was his preference. But he didn't. He surrendered his preference to the preference of the Father. It said, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord, on the contrary. Now listen to this. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give it to him, something to drink. In doing this, you will be heaping burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Listen, I'm going to wrap this up, but listen to me just for a second. It shouldn't be just this Christmas season, but I'm going to ask this Christmas season that God changes our hearts away from our preference to respond the way we respond to people, to be perhaps angry at people because of the way they've treated us. It's so easy to do what we prefer. Well, I have the right. Well, so did Jesus have the right to call angels from heaven to set him free from a cross. And he didn't do that. He had the right. But you see, he had a covenant relationship. He was God, the second person. And they together, the Trinity itself, had determined that this was the will of the Father. And Christ was going to carry out the will of the Father. And it was the preference of the Father that mattered. And it's still the preference of the Father that matters today. Bow your heads with me for just a moment. Heavenly Father, today I know we all have preferences. We have all kinds of preferences that really are not harmful. They're really in and of themselves, just like the Christmas music selection and the way we celebrate Christmas, the children are free for all. Those are preferences that have no harm whatsoever. And it's not an issue before you as to what your will is in those things. But in the things that matter in the eternal side, teach us to set our preferences aside and to run after the will of the Father as Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane when he said, "But not my will, but thine be done." I ask you, Father, awaken us to being sensitive to the preference or the will of the Father. And the will of the Father will always be about people spending eternity with him. Even if it takes us setting, and it probably will, setting our preference aside. And if that's you today, no one's looking around, just raise your hand. And I'm going to pray for you personally. Just raise your hand real high, pull it right back down. And I'm going to pray for you. Yes, thank you. I see that hand. Anyone else? I want to pray for you that God really helps you personally to overcome your preference. Yes, yes, yes. I see other hands. Yes, thank you. Anyone else? Quickly. Come on, I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to make you come forward. I just want to pray for you right where you're sitting. And I'm going to stand up here as I pray for you. We lit the Christ or the hope candle today because there's hope in him. Anytime Christ is in the picture, there is hope. And today you have hope in Christ. You have a faith hope today. You may not have much faith, but it doesn't take much to trust in God. He's given you that faith today. Anyone else? I just want to learn to set my preferences aside. I want to learn, in other words, there's another way to say it. I want to die to my flesh and I want to live unto him in the spirit. Anyone else? Okay, Heavenly Father, for those four that raised their hand, I'm asking you, God, that you will so speak into them a freedom, as you have with me, a freedom from ourselves. You see, Lord, you know this more than we do. We oftentimes, because of our preference, the prejudices we have in our lives or the preferences that we have or the passions that we have, however we want to lace that, God, we run after the things that interest us or make us feel good or make us feel safe. God, teach us to run after the things that you value and prefer instead. I ask you this, Father, in the name of Jesus, and every believer said, amen. Give the Lord a huge hand. Will you do that?
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.